Hi, Ann Platt on the line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. John Walker joins me now. The distinguished filmmaker screened his latest, Assholes a Theory, at the Vancouver International Film Festival in early October. It is to have a theatrical release shortly. Based on the best-selling book by Aaron James, the film looks at how assholes seem to be in the ascendancy because of the unfortunate combination of social media, authoritarianism, and narcissism. The asshole culture seems to display civility and morality. The film, with engaging interviews with people like John Cleese, Sherry Lynn Benson-Polchuk, and many others, including Aaron James himself, looks at where we are and why it's as insidious as it is in finance, fraternities in college, Silicon Valley, and politics. Donald Trump seems to embody this, yet is he a symptom? I'll ask Mr. Walker about why he decided to make this film, about what an asshole is and why, as well as where we're headed with the assholes and douchebaggery around us. John Walker's films have screened at major international film festivals and have received over 60 nominations for awards in Canada and other countries. He's received 90 nominations from the Academy of Canadian Cinema and Television, including the prestigious Donald Britton Award. His previous films include Quebec, My Country, Mon Pays, Strand, Under the Dark Cloth, which won the Genie for Best Feature Documentary, Men of the Deeps, A Winter Tan, The Hand of Stalin, and many others. Visit assholesatheory.com for more information on the film, which is a co-production of the National Film Board of Canada. Mr. Walker co-produced, wrote, directed, and narrates the picture. He joined me in person while in town back in early October. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, John Walker. Mr. Walker, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here.
So being an asshole is largely the domain of men, isn't it?
Yes.
And, but I mean, women can be, to be fair, I should say, women can be assholes too, right?
Yeah, they can be nasty, and, you know, some people, they use the term bitches, but, you know, it's just, as Aaron defined the asshole, and I think that's the interesting thing about the book, is he defines, this is not a word you use to describe somebody you don't like.
Yeah.
He's defining a moral character, moral behavior. And so women don't act out of a sense of entitlement. They can bully other women, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, but it's not the same definition.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I guess resonates throughout your movie, is the sense of entitlement that assholes have, that one wonders if we can get away from that. And the trends, because of what we see in popular culture and politics, naturally, doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon.
No, I mean, you know, From the perspective of the, you know, gender issue, there's a long history of male sense of superiority over women. We still don't pay them as much, and we have a sense of, you know, I used the Harvey Weinstein example,
right.
You know, do what I want or you don't have a job. And no, we're not going to get rid of all the assholes in the world. I'm not naive enough to think, and nor is Aaron. But what we need is an equilibrium. A balance. There will always be assholes in the world, but we have to push back to the point where the assholes are not in charge. And that's what happened in the 2008 financial crisis. The assholes were in charge and it collapsed. It was a global crisis as a result. So we need to push back to maintain a balance. We're not going to get rid of all of them.
What's fascinating as I'm watching your film is we realize assholes have been around since the beginning of time.
Yes.
But what about this time in particular is unique in terms of why they're so ubiquitous?
Yeah, well, one of the things we look at in the film is traditional media loves assholes, particularly American media. And, you know, they get attention. They can be funny. They can, you know, they can be annoying. So they attract attention. If we give them attention, I use the example of Ford, our former mayor of Toronto.
Right.
You know, it was bad behavior. He was on every talk show in America. We quote him on the Jimmy Kimmel show, mm-hmm. you know, and Jimmy Kimmel's empowering him, you know, and others see this and say, hey, an asshole gets attention. Hey, he's a star. So we make stars out of these guys. So that's a problem. And you combine that with social media now, where you can be you can anonymously be the asshole online, attacking people that are called haters or mm-hmm. you know, trolls or whatever. And that's on the increase. These are lonely people that are nasty behavior, and it's hard to check that. It's hard to push back on that because who are they, you know? So it's a toxic combination. But the biggest problem is that big assholes produce little assholes.
Mm.
So if you have an asshole boss, the staff may tend towards that behavior, even if they didn't come into the company as an asshole.
Yeah. one of the places that you go to in the film is Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about social media, one would assume that because Silicon Valley is the way it is, that there's a relationship in how social media has, say, cultivated this tribe of people.
Yes.
Can you draw the distinction, the line, say, or the connection between the two?
Well, there is a connection. Jeffrey Nunberg makes the point that there's a new breed of asshole in Silicon Valley, and because the fact that they have made, you know, lots and lots of money, they have a sense of entitlement, and the entitlement is we're changing the world, we're making it a better place,
and quickly too, right?
And quickly, yeah. You know, break things, and you know, but what Aaron points out is that they're not maintaining their social responsibility for the impact of social media. And it's coming to the attention now of regulators. Washington is called up Zuckerberg and CEOs of Google they're concerned with fake news, privacy issues, hate speech, all of these things. And so there is pushback and, you know, in government. We mentioned in the film that Google was sued by the European Commission, $5 billion for antitrust laws and so on. So there's pushback from regulatory, and there's a realization that this is out of control. This is the wild frontier. It's an unregulated industry, and as we point out in the film, Wall Street economy needs some regulation, some form of regulation.
Indeed. You mentioned Aaron James, the author of this book that you'd read, and so I'm wondering how soon after you read that book did you think there was a movie there?
I'd say within 3 hours. I had my researcher in Halifax, Valerie Mansour, said, "Can you get in touch with Aaron? I want to talk to him." She had him on a cell phone. He was visiting in New York, doing a talk there. He's from California. I was on the phone with him within 2 hours, and we had a two-hour conversation, and he said, "Really, you think you could make a documentary film?" I said, "Oh, I think yes, definitely." And so we really hit it off, and
Do you surf at all?
I don't surf. No.
He does a lot, though.
He's a master surfer, and I think that keeps the balance, the equilibrium for him as a professor. But he discovered the idea for the book on the beach. Trestles Beach was a famous surfing beach, in the world famous beach, where these people were behaving badly, and not maintaining the rules. It's like cutting you off on the highway, not obeying the rules. And why is this happening? And you realize that it was actually a definable behavior, and that was the basis of his book.
You talked to other than James, who's the spine of the film, and you talked to him throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. You talked to a lot of fascinating people. Mm-hmm. I named some of them in the introduction. Just a wide gamut from academics to famous people to not so famous people. Were there people that you wanted to talk to that you couldn't get a hold of, say?
Well, it's interesting. We had a great researcher in Italy, and I think and she found some fascinating people in Italy. And she was saying, "Well, what about the Vatican? Do you want to talk about she could probably have, got the Pope for me if I wanted to get the Pope." And I said, no, I'm not dealing with it. I'm not dealing with the Vatican. She said, "Well, what about the Mafia?" I said, "No, I want to make a few more films, So I think I'll leave the Mafia alone." But interestingly, she said that the Mafia and others, other experts on the Mafia, because I did do a little bit of research into Italy, into the Mafia, and did consider, the Vatican, but backed off on that one. Is that the asshole behavior is on the increase within the Mafia. Traditionally, they were very family-oriented.
Yeah.
They were protecting family. It was all about, a sense of family.
A sense of rules, almost. Honor among thieves, if you will.
Honor among thieves, exactly. Yeah. And there was rules and but they are now acting like assholes, and they're being much more individualistic, and they don't have that same. So I found that interesting, but it was not a territory that I wanted to enter into.
Especially if you want your limbs in the sword.
Exactly.
Someone that you mentioned in the film, and I guess I wondered, because I don't know much about him, but he's obviously someone who's everywhere, and who is considered one of the biggest assholes in popular culture today, is Kanye West. Did you want to look into him a little bit more, maybe? And I wondered if why you didn't.
Yeah, good question. I wanted. I mean, the reason we mentioned Kanye West is that we interviewed a lot of young men, particularly in L.A., mm-hmm. and, you know, these guys were very keen to be assholes. They felt that was the way to get ahead.
Yeah.
They see the example. So I started asking them, you know, who's your favorite asshole?
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye West came up with a number of them. He seemed to be on the top of the list. So we mentioned Kanye. It wasn't the film where I wanted to start pointing fingers and outing people. I think that's a dangerous thing to do. You can end up being an asshole if you're pointing fingers. But I just wanted to reference, I knew in the audience would have in their mind assholes and that they've dealt with, whether
yeah.
in public figures or whether personally or boyfriend or boss. So everybody has their own favorite assholes, and
yeah.
so we just made that one reference just to, you know.
Yeah, because other than the obvious, and I haven't used his name yet, the president, he's probably the biggest one there is around, you know, and to see the two of them together.
In terms of popular culture,
yeah.
And to see the two of them together, yes, was very revealing.
It blows one's mind.
Yes.
At the same time, with the ascendancy of Me Too and Time's Up, could the decline of the asshole, could that happen at all?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was interesting, Aaron's book, he was asked to write a sequel after Assholes, a Theory, and it was 6 months before the U.S. election. It was called Assholes, a Theory of Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
in which he articulates this type of character, and that, in fact, it can... What can coalesce around this kind of behavior is a reaction to it. It's almost like a festering wound that finally bursts and eventually heals itself. And if you look at the reaction coming from, I mean, there was more activism and demonstrations in the U.S. around Trump than in the 1960s,
mm-hmm.
and the demographic from young people to retired people are reacting. So I think it's. It has exposed some underlying truths about hate that exist in the United States and other places, and to get those up on the surface so we can talk about them and deal with them and push back against them. So I think, I mean, that's the point, I think, of the film, is this is not acceptable behavior. And I think by naming it, I think people can be confused if they're working with an asshole. They can
mm-hmm.
blame themselves, saying, "Oh, why is he treating me so badly?"
Yeah.
And feel that you've done something wrong. So I think by Aaron's defining this, it really gives us the tools to say, "No, this is an unacceptable behavior. It's time to push back." And I think that's happening in the culture.
Yeah. But at the same time, one can't help but think that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It's possible.
And I mean, it's probably easier now. Well, I think it is easier now to be a Nazi than it was, say, 20 years ago. And I think young people especially will look to Kanye West or look to Donald Trump and think that bad behavior will get rewarded.
Yes,
and
definitely.
So let's be bad.
Yes, no question that's the main problem right now, is that by giving this behavior or these characters attention,
oxygen,
and it probably will get worse before it gets better. You're probably right.
So I'm thinking as I'm watching your movie, whether assholes deserve compassion. And you know, I've talked to academics, I've talked to psychologists over the years who've diagnosed people like Donald Trump as you know, there's something wrong with him psychologically, and so that's why he does what he does. If we figure out what happened in the past, is there a chance for say reformation on their part? There's a marvelous moment in your film, an academic whose name I haven't written down, but she notices this behavior in a student of hers.
Yes.
And she calls, she doesn't call him out, she ignores him at one point.
Yes.
And then he asks, why are you ignoring him? Yeah. And then she tells him, and then he turns out to be a terrific student, reform, you know, he's changed his behavior.
Yes.
So one wonders then if that's possible at all on a larger scale.
Well, I think that what's important is to check this behavior at an early stage. I mean, you know, we talk about teenagers, you know, playing around with this behavior. It's sort of natural. They're testing, but they won't necessarily become entrenched in this behavior and become, as Aaron says, proper assholes.
Mm-hmm.
However, if they're not checked, and particularly in university, the opportunity to go into the fraternity culture, which is a very toxic masculine environment, And if that carries through and doesn't get checked and carries through into the business world and you go into a financial service industry where they're demanding this kind of bad behavior as a way to get ahead, that's a problem. But if we check it early, and I think it's a responsibility of parents to say that, to not to allow this behavior to be success, to
to fester.
Yeah, thank you, fester. And that example that you use with this university professor at the Cornell Law School, you know, she turned around a guy that could have been that next asshole CEO.
Yeah.
And, you know, what she said is, we think, well, why bother, you know, as professors, and, you know, like, why bother with these kids? But if you bother, maybe you can make a change. So there is an example of we have to start bothering and have to start pushing back. Pushback is maybe the wrong word, but being sympathetic in some cases that maybe they had bad parents. They had, we use the example in the film, Vladimir Luxuria confronted his hater.
Yeah.
And found out that he was a very sad individual, had empathy for this individual. So you're right. You make a good point that, yes, we can be sympathetic, and maybe we can turn people around.
Fascinating moment in the film is when Vladimir Luxuria confronts their hater.
Yes.
You ask, I can't remember, she does a television show, I guess.
Yes. And
she finds these people.
Yeah.
You ask if she thought that person had changed, and she says probably not.
That's the journalist. Yeah, that wasn't Vladimir, but Vladimir, the journalist,
worked with Vladimir to find this guy. Right?
Yeah, and that's what the show does. They out haters. I asked the general question: do haters stop?
Mm.
And she said sometimes they do.
Yeah.
But often they get right back to it. With that particular individual, I don't know if he's continued.
Yeah. Again, another place you go to is Italy. And it's fascinating to because we forget now Berlusconi. He was sort of the test case in all of this, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was sort of the elephant in the room was clearly Trump.
Right.
And I knew everybody would be thinking about Trump. But it's an obvious target,
yeah,
you know, to go after Trump. I mean, you know, all the news media is going after Trump. Why would I bother?
Yeah.
So Berlusconi was an interesting case. He's one of the first populists in European terms. And the former editor of The Economist, Bill Emmett, was the one who put Berlusconi on the cover of The Economist saying, you know, unfit to govern. This guy has screwed his country. And which is a very, very bold statement for a newspaper like The Economist, which is supposed to be objective and report on business, to push back against a politician. And there, they saw him as a case study, that if this behavior is allowed to continue, the criminality, the anesthetizing of this behavior and the public, it could spread to other countries, which, as he says, unfortunately has spread to other countries. So he was an interesting case. And everything that Bill said about Berlusconi applies to the same shoes. Trump fits in those same shoes.
Yeah. It's fascinating to think. I think someone says this in your film, that his life was a Fellini movie, and it just came to life, didn't it?
Yes, yes. He tapped into this fantasy world and created this fantasy for the public to think that they were living this, that they could live this fantasy world that Berlusconi himself was living in, wealthy parties, exploiting, underage prostitutes, you know, criminality and so on. Convicted of tax evasion, and he created this fantasy. You could live this fantasy like I'm living, you know.
You're a documentary filmmaker, but a filmmaker nonetheless. Do you think your profession might have a role in perpetuating a lot of this because of what we see in popular culture? A film that clips of the film that you include in your film, Wolf of Wall Street, glamorized it for a lot of people. And do you think depictions of that, like the sort of that crassness,
Do you think it glamorized? Do you think Scorsese's film glamorized? For some people.
On my Facebook, especially when that film came out, they were saying what a good movie it was. It wasn't even a good Scorsese movie.
Right.
Let alone a good film. I mean, I think a lot of people, when they see things like that, might think it's licensed for them to do that in their behavior or their work. And right. So do you think popular culture has a – I mean, it obviously has a role. I mean, it propels people like Kanye West into fame and fortune.
Yes. There's no question that popular media does. I mean,
so what role do you think your profession has in say – because now you've named it in your film.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that certainly Aaron wasn't, putting it on a pedestal. I don't think we do that in the film. And we're clearly in the film say this is unacceptable behavior. And we also, I mean, I think the more important thing is with the film and where we ended up was coming up with there is solutions. I mean, on some level, I felt I was making a film about the environment. You know, it's a toxic environment. Mm-hmm. A company that's run by an asshole or a country that's run by an asshole, that's a toxic environment. But, you know, if you make an environmental film, you don't offer any solutions. It's just depressing. But we offer the solution, which is the no asshole rule.
Mm-hmm.
And we showed an alternative with Baird, this financial services company. And so that's a positive example of not being an asshole and being highly successful.
Yeah. Where is that company, by the way? Because I noticed it's a beautiful when you're up in the
head.
Is that Milwaukee?
Head office is in Milwaukee. Yeah. It's an old company.
Yeah.
From the 1930s, they were quite progressive, hiring women back in those days. And they're providing quite an interesting alternative to asshole capitalism.
All right, the film opens with a, I guess you mentioned that a friend of yours asks you if filmmakers can be assholes. And so, I mean, after making this movie, after talking about it as you have, I mean, you in the business, you've probably encountered a lot.
I haven't, working in Canada, I haven't. I realized after making the film that I've been actually operating under a no-asshole rule.
Mm.
You know, I don't work with assholes. I don't hire assholes. And so I've self-preservation is too far. But, you know, Canada is not a major producer of assholes, in our industry.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of assholes in our industry.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing, because you do ask that question in the film, if Canadians can be assholes. I know that it's a poignant moment in the movie is when you talk to the RCMP officer and what happened to her and sort of the institutional problems that she encountered.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen in this country.
Absolutely,
We must not lose sight of that, I guess.
We must not lose sight of it. No, we can't be too smug in Canada that we're better than the south of the border.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I think all of these issues and themes, racism and all of this stuff, bullying, it's all under the surface in Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe we just keep it a little bit better hidden. But I don't think as a culture we encourage this kind of behavior to success. I don't think we say you have to be an asshole to be successful in Canada. I don't think that's a main theme in Canada. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not wrong about that.
Yeah, we're lucky in that sense. So America, I guess, because of just how what a behemoth it is, I guess is I mean, there you can point as you do in the film certain cities in that country that encourage that, if you will.
Well, it's interesting. What I found out in the research is that countries that have a social safety net, like we have, the Scandinavian countries, that have a social safety net, they're less aggressive in terms of having to survive, and they're less likely towards asshole behavior when you're not dog-eat-dog kind of a culture.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is the Harvard University did a study in that people that spend time in nature are less likely to have asshole behavior. So I think having that balance of not living in a violently aggressive place to survive, you have to step on others to get ahead. We don't have to be as aggressive in Canada to survive. So we're
And wherever one lives in this country, it's easy to get, close to nature quickly.
Yeah.
You can't do that in sort of the big metropolis cities like Los Angeles or New York.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. So I think that is a factor. Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about as I was watching your movie is it's a great word to say, isn't it?
It is. It's a very useful word.
Yeah.
But as I say, be careful how you use it.
You know,
it's not a word to use somebody that you don't like.
Right.
But once you know the definition, It's empowering when you recognize somebody who is being an asshole, and you can say, no, I'm not going to work for this person. You know, I'm not going to live with this person, nor am I going to vote for this person if they're behaving this way and they want to run the country. So it's a useful knowing the definition is very useful.
The reaction to the movie has been quite good on the festival circuit.
Very good. Yes, yeah. We've had right across the country sold out screenings, and people seem to be really turned on. I think because it's naming this behavior as you know, I think. You know, Trump and this behavior is very upsetting to people.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the whole world upset. And what do you do about it? And we're all, it's just caused a lot of uptight reaction to this. And I think the film is sort of, there's a solution, the no asshole rule, and naming it. And it's okay to say, this is not right. This behavior is not right. We've got to push back. So I think it's helpful.
When you started the movie, I mentioned this a moment ago, that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Did you think it would get as bad as it has?
Well, I asked that question at the end of the movie to Aaron. I said, when you wrote the book, has anything changed? And he said, I thought we were maybe on the precipice of this behavior, but then we went all in, you know. And he said, I could never have imagined that. And that was, of course, voting for Trump and what's ensued.
Yeah.
So he was quite shocked that it's gone this far. But let's hope it's turning around. It feels like it might be turning around with impeachment and other things that maybe it's going to.
Like all things, going all in means that it's probably going to be hard to get out. And I wonder if the bar has been lowered or whatever metaphor you want to use after all of this.
Well, the bar has certainly been lowered for public debate and
just talk. We can't talk to one another.
We're not talking to one another. And I mean that's what I found interesting about the book, and that I was one of the reasons I didn't go after Trump is that I didn't want to be seen as a Democrat making this political. The assholery it's a nonpartisan issue. This is not, the assholes are only on the right, can be on the left or the right.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can be an asshole. And so if you have that perspective, it's time for both sides to start talking to each other. If we don't start talking, but if we're just pointing fingers, you're an asshole, we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
And
what's next for you? Are you working on another film now?
I've optioned a book by Lyndon McIntyre.
Oh, yes.
The Wake, his new book.
Yeah.
And so I'm just early stages.
Yeah.
Having a look, having conversations with him, and to see if we can bring it to the screen.
He's a marvelous writer.
Yes,
I've interviewed him over the years, and I mean, we all know him from The Fifth Estate from TV, but I mean, as a novelist, he's altogether an artist altogether.
Wonderful, wonderful writer. Yeah. He's won the Governor General Award, of course, and he's a great storyteller. So I'm hoping we'll have an interesting collaboration.
What's the song Under the Credits? It's a great piece of music. I mean, I played it back for myself. It's a jazz.
That's an original piece scored by our composer Sandy Moore from Halifax.
And
it worked with a great jazz quartet down there. And so that's original.
It's a great piece.
As
I said, I had to go back and listen to it again.
Yeah, it's a great track. They came up with some beautiful music there. Yeah.
And so this movie, it's playing at various festivals and sort. It could have a life in cinemas later on?
Yes, we're actually, the National Film Board is releasing the film November 15th across Canada in theaters, and then it will be on the documentary channel in early next year, January, I believe, and then it'll continue to have screenings at universities and, communities and so on.
It's an awfully relevant film, and I think it will be in the future as well. The National Film Board website is terrific because you can rent and screen things off there.
Yes.
I have it on my Roku at home,
right
upstairs, you can spend days on there.
Yes, wonderful institution. I've had a long relationship with the National Film Board. The other thing to mention is our film website, www.assholesatheory.com. And we have extended interviews with people and some really practical advice if you're having to deal with an asshole boss, what to do and how to. So there's a lot of practical information that wasn't in the film. So you can learn more about how to push back against assholes.
By the way, when you're talking to whether it's John Cleese or an academic or this sort, how much time do you have with them?
I usually like to have 2 hours. Hmm. I find that within 2 hours you can have a very good conversation. And, you know, you come in, set up. Usually I set up the lights and get prepared, and then I tell them that if we could have 2 hours. And, yeah. You know, and within 2 hours, you know, somebody, like, you know, take a break if you want to have a coffee.
Sure.
Just get up and stretch a bit. And But 2 hours is a good amount of time.
Too. It just,
we don't film for 2 hours, but
right.
Just to have a time to have a conversation.
It seems like if you film for an hour, I guess that's why you have a film editor. It's just so hard to get, you know what I mean?
Yes, well, that's the nice thing, though, now, is that in the old days with film, it was very difficult to shoot that long.
Mm.
But now you can record. It means you have audio that can be played, you know, through radio.
Yeah.
And as I say, we use that material to extend the subject on our website. So it becomes useful for additional material.
Congratulations on this film. It's such a, as I said earlier, timely film. It's an important one, and I hope a lot of people see it. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Pleasure to meet you.
The film is called Assholes, a Theory. Watch for it in cinemas November 15th across this country. It's a co-production of the National Film Board of Canada, and it'll be up on their website for rental download later on. AssholesAtheory.com is the website. John Walker, join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.